And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. So great to be with you and being heard around the world here on Shortwave Radio, WWCR. Of course, we're at with WINB, isn't it, Sandra? Sandra is with us today. Jerry's sort of out with a case of the flu and congestion and all that, so please say a prayer for him. It's been going around our staff here, and I still have it a little bit. My voice is not quite as strong as it usually is, so I'll have to ask the Lord Jesus to amplify my voice a little bit today. But Sandra Myers is with us. She usually does our artwork, our beautiful newsletters. She formats all those. So if you enjoy getting our monthly newsletter, well, there you have it. If you enjoy the covers to our books, our videos, well, see, she could do more than simply do all the art and all the graphics and things. She can run our radio here today, and she's doing it. Appreciate her. Appreciate all of our staff. They've been with us a long time. You know, a lot of people say, well, Tex, you can't be all bad, or all your staff would have left you by now. I don't know. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but they put up with me, and so I appreciate even my precious wife, Wanda, puts up with me. In fact, I think my dog sometimes likes me. Well, you know, today is a time of the month when I'd love to meet with you and share with you secrets. We have a volume once a month, usually, of secrets. Now, some of these you may have heard about, but I think the little slant, the angle, the facts, you may not know everything about it. Or if you just pay attention to the mainstream media, well, they'll give you all of their propaganda and their spin. I mean, sometimes the spin goes so fast out of those, it's like a dynamo, you know, spinning. Remember when you're a little kid and you have one of those tops? I never was very good at it. You know, you throw that top and it reels right off of the string, and it just goes around and around and around. I never could keep mine going very long. I always admired those. I would go to those contests when I was about 9 or 10 years old. Little boys would have a yo-yo contest. I couldn't figure out how they could do all that. Well, I guess God gives each of us gifts, so I never was a yo-yo champion. So, but that's okay. He gave me other gifts, for which I'm thankful that I've got at least a few gifts from the Lord. You know, I think all of our talents. Is it Rush Limbaugh that says his talents are on loan from God? You know, there may be a lot of things. I know he's a big Zionist fanatic and all that, but I think that's true of what Rush says there. All of our talents are on loan from God, and he can take them away from us if he wants to, but I pray that he'll give me a few more. Now, let's talk about these secrets. First of all, you know, we offer you in our ministry food supplies, these emergency food supplies that are in this incredibly long-lasting packaging and so forth, and you can buy a year's supply of food for your family. 6 months, 3 months supply. We also sell the Big Berkey, the water filtration system. It's a big stainless steel water purifier, and you pour your dirty old water in the top of it, and it comes out of the bottom, and you can drink good, clean water. Well, a lot of people have written to me, not a lot, but a few, and said, are you just trying to make money by making people fearful, thinking there's going to be these horror catastrophes? And if they need a water filtration system, the Big Berkey, and they need these emergency food supplies, is that what you're trying to do, scare us? Well, it's sort of like the man one time called me and said, Tex, you've got me so afraid, you know, you got the devil scared out of me. And I said, well, good. If I've scared the devil out of you, I've done some good today. Well, you know, folks, I'm not trying to scare the devil out of you. Actually, I would if I could. Maybe a few times I have. Fear, after all, is the beginning of wisdom. It's what the Bible says. No. Oh, you missed. I'm misquoting that. Yes, I am. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Had a good friend, David. See, what was his last name? I'm so, you know, he always exposed witchcraft. David Benoit. Yeah, David Benoit. Fine man. But he said, Tex, if fear, the Bible says that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, then what is fear of the devil? I scratched my head. I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, stupidity. Because fear of God is only the beginning of wisdom. That's where you start to grow wise, when you fear God. But if you fear the devil, well, you're going in the opposite direction. You're going towards stupidity. I like that. Well, listen to this, folks. The reason we offer these things is because we want you to be prepared and your family to be prepared. And look at what Hurricane Sandy did. People were shocked at the devastation. I mean, aren't hurricanes supposed to go up into the Gulf of Mexico and hit Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and maybe Texas, Gulf Coast, and maybe Florida on the Atlantic? I mean, they shouldn't get past Georgia and North Carolina, surely. Well, they did this time. New York City, Boston, Washington, D.C., New Jersey. I believe you should be prepared. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. You're not being stupid, you're being wise. But here's the one thing you need to understand. Here's a secret I'm going to give you today. This is a tip, you might say, a great tip for survival. This is from Isaiah. It's in the Bible, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that powerful? I go to sleep at night. I know there are all kinds of things that can happen during the night. People could break in a tornado. We have to worry about tornadoes here in my part of Texas. Wherever you're at in this country, you know, there's flooding going on and hurricanes and tsunamis that earthquakes. A lot of people live near nuclear reactors. At any time, we could have an American Fukushima or Chernobyl. I think you need the ultimate protection. The ultimate protection. Isaiah 41. There it is. There's verse 10. There is your ultimate protection. Young man wrote to me this week and he says, Dear Tex, I'm fearful all the time. I live in fear. I'm depressed. And I looked and his age was 16. He said, I've lived in fear for 6 years that I might die. Really? Well, listen to me, young people. I'm 68 years old. And I don't live in fear that I might die. Because when I die, I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the Lord. And Jesus said that he has prepared a place for us, mansions in heaven. And he went there and he prepared that place for us. I've got a mansion in heaven. It doesn't have to be very fancy for me either. just so long as I make it. You don't have to live in fear. You can have God with you every moment of every day. Okay. You know, I'd love to just do a program, Sandra, and talk about, you know, just the basic principles of God. I get a lot of letters and people ask me how to pray. They say, do you know any way I can pray? I want this to happen in my life. I want that. Is there any exact words I need to say or prescriptions or whatever? No. You know, it's God is your friend. God is, and listen, even if your words are imperfect, he knows how to interpret them. If you ever call up somebody nowadays, it's so common. You call people and, boy, you get some foreigner on the line. You can barely understand what they're saying. You know, you need your TV fixed or your electric is out or your phone. And here you're talking with this person, you can barely understand what they're saying. Well, listen, folks, I don't care what language or dialect. I don't care how uneducated you are or educated. I don't care how imperfect you say, I don't know what to say to God. What do you mean you don't know how to say to God? How do you talk to a friend? What are you going to, you go out and you're mowing your lawn or something, your next neighbor comes up and says, hey, how's it going, Joe? You're at the food store, you see a lady friend, she says, hi, Sally. What are you going to do? Just say, I can't talk to you, I don't know what to say. I bet you go up to her and say, hi, how have you been? How's your husband? See, that's what God wants of us. It's not that complicated among friends. It's so easy. And if you say the wrong words, God knows your heart. You know, a lot of people misinterpret what you say, and they get angry. Did you hear what she said? You didn't even mean it. You said it the wrong way. One time, you know, Juan and I were at this sort of like a performance play. And one of the ladies in it that we knew, she was one of the performers. And she had on a costume. So she came up and said, what did you think of, you know, my play acting, my performance? And I said, you look so cute in that outfit. And she got all huffy. Cute. Kids look cute. Adults don't look cute. I'm an adult. Huh? They say, you know, some cafeterias and restaurants, you go pay the cashier. And some people get all huffy and angry if the cashier says, well, thank you, honey. Thank you, dear. You know, that used to be pretty common here, especially in the South. You'd buy something at some little shop or at a restaurant, they'd say, well, thank you, honey. Now, they didn't mean anything by it. There's nothing wrong with it, in fact. I don't mind being called dear or honey or, you know, whatever. People get all huffy. It seems like people are running around today with a chip on their shoulder, just wanting to get angry at somebody, wanting to get all snotty and mean. Well, God is not going to do you that way. The nice thing is he knows your heart. He knows what you mean. In fact, God knows what you're going to say before you say it. He's already translated it. He must know thousands, millions, billions of languages and dialects. So, hey, just speak to him as a friend. Some people say, should I get on my knees when I pray? Should I be in a certain method? Should I put my hands together? I've always liked praying all day long, being prayerful. I call it being prayer, living prayerfully. When you're driving the car, might be time to say a few words to Jesus. When you're laying in bed, there's nothing wrong with getting on your knees. I think it's a sign you're showing that you're obedient to God, that you're a slave of his. I don't mind being a slave of God. He treats his slaves pretty good, by the way. Okay, but how to pray? Just pray. Don't make it so complicated. And I think if you're driving, if you're walking, if you're laying down, if you're washing dishes, if you're mowing the lawn, might be a good time to speak to Jesus. It doesn't mean that you say he's not important enough for me to take time out of my busy schedule. It just means, you know, my wife Juan and I are together a lot. You know, we go places together, we watch, you know, movies together, TV, whatever we do. We talk about the Bible together. We talk about the ministry. We talk about our children, grandchildren. We do all kinds of things together all day long from morning till night. Well, I sort of look at God that way. God is with us 24 hours a day. Might be a good idea when you wake up in the morning and say, hi, Jesus. Thank you for giving me another day to serve you. Look outside and you see it's a nice, pretty sunny day or a wintry day. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the breakfast. Give thanks in all things, the Bible says. Now, I know you can be a fanatic just going around there, you know. Well, anyway, nothing wrong with being a fanatic sometime. Hey, we've got to get on these secrets. I just wanted to let you know, especially for those of you who are fearful, some of you who have gone through this great tragedy, our prayers are with you. This Hurricane Sandy, this great storm, and I want you to know God is with you. God's going to take care of you. Hey, global warming. Well, they've done a big master study now. They finished it, and they sort of snuck the results out. This is from the Mail newspaper in Great Britain, one of the most respected newspapers. Listen to this headline. Global warming global warming stopped 16 years ago, reveals new scientific report quietly released. And here is the chart to prove it. The figures reveal that from the beginning of 1997 until August 2012, there was no discernible rise in aggregate global temperatures. Wow. This means that the pause in global warming, so-called the pause, has now lasted for about the same time as the previous period when the temperatures rose, 1980 to 1996. Looks like we have a cycle there. There's cooling and then there's warming, and then there's cooling and there's warming. You know, folks, I think anybody but a dunderhead would have already known that. But they've spent millions of dollars to find out all these new things. You know, I look outside every day of the year. I'm 68 years old, and I have noticed. Have you noticed that? It's an amazing thing, Sandra. But every year, the cold finally comes. We get winter. Then we get spring. Then we get summer. Then we get autumn. Isn't that amazing? And I don't need $1 million report to tell me there will be. And 1 year, it'll be cold. The next year, sort of warmer. And the next year, maybe warmer still. And the next year, warmer still. Then suddenly there'll be a big cold snap come again. And my neighbor will say, boy, we hadn't had a cold like this in about 5 years. This is the biggest one we've had since 1998 or 2004. That's the way it is. That's the way God made the world. And now, you know, they want to take all our liberties and freedoms away because of global warming. But there is no global warming. And now they've got this new data. Listen to this. This has been compiled. It comes from Great Britain. But the researchers, they compile this data of temperatures from more than 3,000 measuring points on land and sea throughout the planet. And when the figures came out, well, the scientists very quietly released the report. Without any fanfare, according to the Mail newspaper. They didn't want you and me to know, so they just released it. They had to release it because the British law had stated that they would do this research and then let us know what happened. Now, oh my, isn't that amazing? The trend is reversed. We're in global cooling again. I'm surprised they don't come out and say the world will be a whole iceberg. We'll all be frozen to death. We need to spend trillions of dollars to save the world from global cooling. Believe me, they will very soon. They just need time to gather their sources and everything. Hey, I like this one guy. Let me read to what he said, this British politician. I love this. He's the new energy minister of Britain's Conservative Party. His name is John Hayes. And listen to what he says. He says, quote, the high-flown theories of bourgeois left-wing academics will not override the interest of ordinary people who need fuel for heat, light, and transport. The green activists will not win through propaganda, he says. The bourgeois left-wing academics will not override the interest of ordinary people who need fuel for heat, light, and transport. Now in America, new studies show that we are already energy independent. So when Romney says in 10 years we can be energy independent, that shows he's an idiot. Because all the new statistics from the U.S. Department of Energy show that America is now exporting more energy, more oil and gas than it imports in. That is already a fact. Did you know that? Now, some people say we can't admit that because Obama may take credit for it. I don't care who takes credit. I'll tell you who takes credit. The American people, American business, the oil and gas companies. They're hated, they're despised, and they've just gone right around very quietly, did their job, and now America has more oil and gas than any nation on earth, and we're exporting more than we're importing for the first time. And the environmentalists have been trying to stop it. This could be millions of new jobs, and the environmentalists are fighting it. Really amazing, isn't it? Hey, one thing that the nuts out there are trying to stop is the book that we offer in this ministry called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. We discovered a few weeks ago that Amazon was trying to stop sales of our book. Amazon.com. The book was selling so well on Amazon.com that we offer, and I wrote the foreword for it, a new foreword to the classic book, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, the Jews are so fearful of this book because it tells the truth. They've been trying to get it banned, censored, whatever they could do for decades, ever since it came out back, you know, in the turn of the 20th century. Well, now I'm reading from frontpagemagazine.com that because of complaints from Jewish organizations, Walmart no longer sells on its website, walmart.com, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. When asked why they are no longer selling it, they said, quote, "We made a business decision." I think what that means is the Jews were going to come down hard on us. And after all, they run America. They run the Obama administration, and they will run the Romney administration. So for a business decision, we decided not to sell anymore. See, this is the thing. They don't want truth out. They want to burn books. They'd love to burn Tex Marz's new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. That's banned in many bookstores across the world right now. But Amazon tried to play little games with it. Suddenly it was missing from their system and here and there, and you couldn't buy a copy of it. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, published by Rivercrest Publishing. Now, we had to go to work, and it took us 2 or 3 weeks of working with Amazon.com. They tried to claim they didn't do it on purpose. It was, you know, just a drop from their system. Somehow the computers messed up. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, we finally got it back on there. For how long, we don't know. That's the way they do things, folks. I understand Walmart is running scared. Every business is running scared. They're frightened of the truth. See, I feel this way. Somebody asked me, "Tex, what are you going to do about that big new Buddhist temple that's been built here in Austin, Texas?" What am I going to do? I'm not going to do anything. Well, don't you think it's bad for the Buddhists to have a big temple that can attract people? Let me tell you something, friends. Christians have been drawn by the Holy Spirit. Let the Buddhists, let the Hindus, let the Muslims build their shrines, their mosque, their great temples. See, we don't need Christians. There's nothing wrong with building a church, having a lovely, beautiful church building. I'm not against it necessarily, although I think a lot of them are just full of pride and ego, and the money would be better spent on a lot of other things. Because Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also." I don't think Jesus is in a lot of those big churches today. Now, do you? Especially the big mega churches. I'm not fighting building a church. And if you're a pastor and you're trying to gather up money to build a new church or something, that's okay. Fine. As long as you really want it to be a place where people come and worship Jesus Christ. That's fine with me. But what am I going to do about that Buddhist temple? I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to just continue my Christian ministry, continue my Christian work. And I want to tell you something, folks. The Holy Spirit knows how to draw people to Him. The Holy Spirit, He is the one who draws people to God. He's the one that will witness of Jesus Christ. And we have the Word of God, the Bible. God has His ways to draw people. And it doesn't have to be some big fancy building. In fact, it's so interesting that Paul in the Bible tells us, and the book of Revelation also tells us this, that the temple of the true God, that is Jesus Christ, is not built with human hands. It's made up of living stones, and every man, every woman, every child who has Jesus in his heart is a stone, a lively, in other words, a living stone, and we're all built and framed together perfectly. the perfect temple of God. Jesus is the cornerstone. Now, that's a building you cannot destroy. No atomic bomb can destroy the temple of God. And you, my friends, if you belong to Jesus, are the very temple of God. So what am I going to do about the Buddhists? I'm going to sort of feel sorry for them. I'm going to pity them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to go burn their temple down. I'm not going to go demonstrate against it or protest. Nah, don't waste your time. We have more important things to do as Christians. Well, got a nice letter from, I won't give his whole name because sometimes it's not a good idea. But George in Indiana, and you know who you are, George, Valparaiso, Indiana. He wrote me and he said, he evidently listened to my recent radio program with Edward Henry. We talked about the question, is the Pope a Jewish high priest? And this nice gentleman wrote me a letter, very articulate. He said, I had never so much as heard of a man named William Morgan, that is Captain William Morgan, until obtaining John Quincy Adams' book, Letters on Freemasonry, from Texmar's Power of Prophecy Ministry in Austin, Texas, wherein the man, that is Whip Morgan, the man's ordeal of kidnapping, abuse, and finally murder at the hands of this secret society, Freemasonry, are recounted as the basis for the establishment of the anti-Masonic political party. He says the roots of Freemasonry are traced from their own secret oaths and myths back to the Jews in the time of King Solomon, eerily parallel to the blasphemies of Talmudic Judaism. And of course, we have the Rothschild Illuminist connection with the Reign of Terror in France and later on in the Soviet gulags, exposed by Alexander Solzhenitsyn in his book, Gulag Archipelago. Very interesting. We now realize, he said, they are of the synagogue of Satan. Folks, the Masons, they are of the synagogue of Satan. Albert Pike wrote his book, Morals and Dogma, the classic textbook for Freemasons, in which he said all of the 33 rituals of the Scottish Rite Freemasonry are based on the Jewish Kabbalah. The Jewish Kabbalah, the system of religious magic. All of Masonry is dedicated to and based on the rituals of Judaism. Isn't that amazing? Now we know the truth about it. Well, Captain Morgan, I hope you'll get that tape we did, Edward Henry and I working together. And we discussed the Pope as the high priest, a high priest of Zionism. And the Pope is now wearing a headdress, the Dagon fish hat, you might call it, of the great ancient Canaanite god, the pagan god Baal, also known as Dagon, had temples all over that bloody land. And his symbol was the star, which is the Jewish star today. Well, John Quincy Adams, America's sixth president, one of the greatest presidents of the United States, one of the most educated men ever in the history of this country, wrote a book, Letters on Freemasonry. And he exposed Freemasonry as a Luciferian cult. Can you believe that? John Quincy Adams, one of the great American forefathers. And he talked about how the Masonic Lodge had murdered a man, Captain Morgan, because he had exposed the rituals of the Masonic Order. They cut his throat. They murdered him. Threw him in the lake. It's in the book by John Quincy Adams. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back after this brief message. Again, friends, Tex Mars. A lot of people have written to me and said, Tex, isn't it true that many of our founding fathers were Freemasons? Yes, that is so. But not all of them. I know for a fact that Patrick Henry was not one, that Thomas Jefferson would have nothing to do with the Freemasons, and that the sixth president of the United States, John Quincy Adams, as is true of his father, who also was president of the United States, our third president, also were not Freemasons. In fact, John Quincy Adams wrote a series of letters to friends, influential letters, and we have the book. we put together this book entitled Letters on Freemasonry, written by John Quincy Adams. We want you to have a copy of this book. It goes all the way back, what is it, about 1801 or something? I don't know when it was dated. But John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States. John Quincy Adams could speak six different languages. And this man was educated. He was educated not only in the United States, but at the top university of the time in Paris, France. A magnificent scholar. And he said of Freemasonry that there was nothing good about it. Not one thing. In fact, he said it is Luciferian through and through. Luciferian. Can you imagine the sixth president of the United States, John Quincy Adams, saying such a thing? And at the time, most of his contemporaries were Masons. Oh, they must have hated John Quincy. We want you to have this book. He talks in the book, by the way, about a man who, back in the time of John Quincy Adams, had tried to expose Freemasonry. His name was Captain Morgan, Captain William Morgan. Well, the Masons, as you know, take an oath that if any Mason divulges the secrets of Freemasonry, he will have his throat cut from ear to ear. So Freemasons then abducted, that is, kidnapped William Morgan, tortured him, cut him from ear to ear, murdered him, and threw his body in one of the Great Lakes. The fact is, my friends, that this caused such a furor in America at the time that a political party began called the Anti-Masonic Political Party. It was the third most powerful political party in the United States, and they actually ran candidates for president. If I'm not mistaken, I think John Fremont was one such man. He was the man, sort of the pioneer of the West, if you'll remember. But there were many who so opposed Freemasonry, and they were willing to even put their lives on the line, as did Captain William Morgan. Now, John Quincy Adams was infuriated that a man would be murdered for divulging the secrets of this evil Luciferian sect, which claimed it was of God, but not of our God, of a pagan deity, which John Quincy Adams exposed. And so he wrote these letters, which have become the basis of this book. Now, for $20, yes, $20, we will send you. We published it. It's the first time this book's been published for, what, 200 years. See, I think everybody was afraid to publish the book, Letters on Freemasonry, by John Quincy Adams. So here's what we did here at Power Prophecy. We went out and found an old, old, rare copy of the book. And we published it again. And we offered it not only to you, my dear friends, and we offer it today, but we offered it to libraries throughout America. We got a mailing list of libraries, and we sent them out information on it and said, why don't you keep this book in your library? It's a historic book by America's sixth president that's been out of circulation, out of print all these decades. You know, not many people, not many libraries ordered the book. Now, some would say, well, Tex, you probably lost money in offering that book. Well, we probably did. We haven't calculated it up to see whether we made a profit or loss. We just did it because it was the right thing to do. Now, we still have this book, Letters on Freemasonry. It's got a beautiful cover on it. I think I wrote the foreword for the book, didn't I? Yeah, I wrote a foreword for the book. I think you'll enjoy it. It's just $20 and you'll have a historic book that you won't find anywhere else. Probably not even at your local library. You might want to buy an extra copy, take it down to your library, and say, here's a historic book reprinted finally that you'll want to keep here in your library. And the librarian will be very sweet and say, yes, that's fine. She will probably thank you, and she'll put it on the shelves. And then within a couple of months, there'll be Freemasons coming in, banging her over the head, saying, take that book out! But that's okay. That's okay. You've done your duty. And maybe she'll be a stout person that says, I will not. It's a historic book. That's what libraries are for. Well, in any case, I think you'll personally enjoy the book. $20, please add $5 shipping and handling. Okay? $20, please add $5 shipping and handling. $25. Now, here's how to get your book. Ask for the book Letters on Freemasonry, or simply the book by John Quincy Adams. Can't beat that. John Quincy Adams' book, Letters on Freemasonry, $25. That includes shipping and handling, everything. We'll get the book right out to you. You can write to us, send us a check or money order or cash $25. It'll take care of it all. Say, text, send me John Quincy Adams' Letters on Freemasonry, and we'll get it right in the mail to you, okay? You can also go on our website and search for it. Our website, of course, is powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. I think you'll enjoy. If you haven't checked out our website in a long time, you'll love it. We have a lot of new videos on, all free. We have a lot of very interesting articles. Boy, things are heating up in the world, aren't they? Events are cascading down prophetically. And so you need to check about once a week at least our website and see what's new. Powerofprophecy.com, or you can go to texmars.com, texemarrs.com, and you'll arrive at, yes, the same place, powerofprophecy.com. By the way, that's our where our radio program is broadcast from, 24/7. That's 7 days a week, in perfect clarity there on powerofprophecy.com. Okay, now you can call us toll-free during the week, Monday through Friday, during the workday. Call and ask for the book Letters on Freemasonry. Our phone number, of course, is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to A Volume of Secrets here on Power of Prophecy. Hey, a friend of the ministry sent me an article and a picture from Bay Times. It's a San Francisco, California Bay Area newspaper. This one's dated September 20th, 2012. It talks about public nudity being allowed in the Castro area. That's a big neighborhood and business area of San Francisco. And there's a picture. Oh, boy. There's a picture here in the newspaper of an old man. He looks about 75 years old, totally naked. You see his rear end and all. I'm glad you can't see the front. But if you go to San Francisco, to this neighborhood, you can see the front, too. It's not against the law. They passed an ordinance making it okay, legal, to run around naked on the streets in San Francisco. And so all these people are now doing it. And interestingly enough, many of the guys you used to read about were exhibitionists. They'd go out in a coat and suddenly open up the coat to shock people and be arrested sometimes. Well, now they can just do it. They don't have to wear a coat. They just go naked walking around the streets. And the picture that somebody sent me is a picture of a bunch of kids that were taken down to that area for some other reason, maybe to see some public tourist site, bust in. When they got there, here's the guy showing them himself. All he's wearing is sandals and a cowboy hat. And as I said, he's about 75 years old. Not that it would be any better if he was 25. And the story talks about how wonderful it is. After all, we were born nude. Yeah, well, I won't even read to you what this is. But isn't, this is America today, folks. You take your kid down to a store or something. You're walking around in San Francisco. Just, you know, maybe going to a restaurant and out front are a couple of people just standing around totally naked, men and women. Now, the lesbian and gay community say they want to beautify that area of San Francisco, though. Okay? Now, remember, nudity is permitted. How would it be that the lesbians and the gays and the transgenders want to beautify it? They say they want to get a bunch of young homosexuals and lesbians. Younger to come in naked. It would be more attractive, they said, for the youth to see handsome, young, effeminate men rather than the old ones. Oh, brother. Incredible. You know, somebody once said, God is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't destroy America. Well, God doesn't have to apologize to anybody. In fact, I think he's very gracious and good and long-suffering to put up with this nonsense, don't you, dear friends? Well, here's something that's very curious. You know, I've reported here, and others have reported to you, about these tens of millions of hollow shell bullets, and actually the guns that go with them, that are being stored by all these government agencies. What for? Who are they planning to kill? There's enough hollow shell bullets to kill all of us, every person in America. Reminds me of the things that went on in the Soviet Union and how eventually, according to Solzhenitsyn, 66 million people perished. Maybe that's what they got planned for us. Well, now there's a new congressional bill that's been introduced. It's H.R. 6566, three sixes in the number. I'm not trying to be mystical, but there it is. H.R. 6566, the title of the new bill that's been introduced is Mass Fatality Planning and Religious Considerations Act. They're planning for mass fatalities. And this is a bill that's been introduced. I read it. I don't have time to read the whole thing. It's very short and brief, actually. It's about preparedness for mass fatalities resulting from, quote, a natural disaster, act of terrorism, or other man-made disaster. And it directs the government to prepare for mass fatality planning and religious considerations. Wow. It said, in preparing for mass fatalities, the government needs to work with funeral homes, cemeteries, and mortuaries that could be overwhelmed should mass fatalities arise, and different religions that have different customs surrounding death should be contacted and preparation should be made. Well, isn't that nice? There'll be millions of us dead, and they'll have all the rabbis and the Islamic imams and the Christian clergymen out there saying prayers over us as they put us all in a big mass grave. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Well, talk about a big massacre and a huge mass grave. Listen what has happened over in Poland. Ohio Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur, now she's a Democrat, but she has a lot of guts, more so than most of the people, because the Jews do not want this to be known. You know, I used to read a lot about World War II, what happened in the Soviet Union and with the Nazi Germany and so forth. One of the horrible atrocities that Nazi Germany was accused of was that when they took over Poland, or one half of Poland, as they did, you see, most people don't know it, but we keep hearing that World War II began when Germany attacked Poland. Well, that is when France and England declared war against Germany. But the interesting thing is, when Germany attacked Poland from the west in Europe, at the same moment, the Soviet Union and the communist troops, by a secret treaty arrangement with the Nazis, with Hitler, was attacking Poland from the east. So Poland was attacked by two strong world powers. The Nazis from the east, from the west, and the communists from the east. They didn't have a chance, the people of Poland. Now, in the city of Poznan, Poland, that area, 22,000, at least 22,000, when the Polish army surrendered, we were told in our history books, and the history books still have this account, that the Nazis took all the top officers of the Polish army and massacred them all. They took all these Polish officers, over 20,000, and they took them on cattle trucks out to a forest called the Katyn, K-A-T-Y-N forest. And there they took them out, their hands bound to behind their backs, and they slaughtered them all. And then they dug a huge ditch and put all the bodies. That demolished, that decimated the entire officer corps of Poland. And it was said that the Nazis thought by doing that, they would be able to control the people of Poland easier, when the officer corps of the military had been disposed of. Massacred them. Horrible atrocity. The Nazis did it. The Germans. Except they didn't. Your history books, like so many other things, are wrong. It was the Soviet Union. It was Joseph Stalin. It was the Jews who controlled communism in Russia. They are the ones with the Soviet army who took the cream of the crop of the Polish military forces, the entire officer corps, 22,000 strong, took them out into the Katyn forest and massacred them all. It was Stalin, not Hitler. Makes you wonder, how many other lies have we been told about Hitler in Germany? We got all these movies. This particular incident, the Katyn Forest Massacre, is one of the most well-known massacres in the world, except we really don't know about it. Now, here's what Congresswoman Kaptur did. She requested that President Obama allow the National Archives in Washington, D.C., to release the documents they've been holding all this time about this incident, one of the darkest chapters of World War II. And guess what? The materials have come forth. And just as new accounts, you see, when the Iron Curtain fell under Gorbachev back in the mid-80s, all these new reports came out. The Soviet Union admitted, we did it. We did Katyn. Can you believe that? Now, the Jews didn't want anybody to know that, because the Jews realize that communism is Judaism, is Jewish. And they didn't want anybody to know that the Soviet army, led by Jewish generals, are the ones that did Katyn. They blamed it all these years on the Nazis. Just like they claim the Nazis are responsible for 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, which is another piece of baloney. Well, let me read what it says here. The documents released Monday, I'm reading this in the Sandusky, Ohio, Register newspaper, Sunday, September 16, 2012. The documents released by the National Archives provide information on the infamous Katyn Forest Massacre, the killing of about 22,000 Polish prisoners by Soviet communist forces in 1940 after the Soviet Union invaded Poland. The materials document also, now listen to this, folks, the cover-up of the massacre by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his administration, which sought to blame the Nazis and Germany, and also decided at the time not to avoid damaging America's relationship with the communist Soviet Union. You get that? Roosevelt lied about this. Oh, we found all these graves, this mass grave, all of these people murdered by the Nazis. No, no, the Russians, the Soviet Union, the communists, they didn't do it. Oh, no. You know, Roosevelt was just a lying, you know what, wasn't he? He was just a filthy, dirty liar. I could tell you so much about that guy, Roosevelt. It says here, U.S. Representative Marcy Kaptur, Democrat of Toledo, Ohio, helped push for the release of the documents. She said some writers have described Katyn as the beheading of the Polish nation. Now, Kaptur, who is of the Polish descent and has visited Poland, said she wanted to get the truth out about what has happened. She has spoken to many elderly Polish people who survived hardships during the war. About a year ago, she said, she and U.S. Representative Dan Lipinski, Democrat of Chicago, had written to President Obama and asked for federal officials to release any materials that might shed light on what happened and what the U.S. knew or didn't know. There it is, folks. History revised. Henry Ford, the great industrialist who founded the Ford Motor Company, said it right. History is bunk. Well, here's something that's not bunk. Good friend of the ministry, Ronald H. from Sherman, Texas, Ronald H. wrote to me. And he thanked me for the video that we offer in Power Prophecy entitled End Time Revivals Unmasked, Wolves Among the Sheep. Folks, we've got that video. $20, I think it is. $20 for this incredible video. It says this video shows several big name evangelists such as Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland giving the El Diablo the sign of Satan hand signal. Well, he said, and he goes on to tell me about a so-called prophecy teacher that's very big now in Baptist and other evangelical churches named Dr. Gary Frazier, F-R-A-Z-I-E-R. Now, Ronald actually ordered the video series. Now, in his church, in Denison, Texas, Dr. Fraser came. And they turned out to be another, you know, Zionist, you know, promoter. Promoter of Zionist Israel. A Christian Zionist. So already he's into heresy. But what Ronald, the friend of the ministry here, found out was that Gary Fraser gave the hand sign of Satan, El Diablo, 95 times while he was at the church. Actually, in the 8 lessons that he offers in his video series. He has a video series about the end times, Dr. Fraser does. And listen to this one. Our friend here, Ronald, says, some of the signs were very slight, some were not slight at all, and were even prolonged. I was very careful and used the stop, reverse, fast forward, and pause buttons on the remote for the DVD player. I wrote down the times on the DVD player's timer that he gave this hand signal, the El Diablo of Satan. And I have enclosed my report. And I have it here. He's actually enclosed it. And the time of each of the 8 videos when the guy gave the sign of El Diablo. Now look, let me say something here. First of all, what we do know about Dr. Fraser from Ronald's report is that the guy is a Zionist fanatic, a heretic. Okay? But I'm going to give the guy a little bit of slack. Maybe he was that ignorant. Maybe his hands just appeared that way. Maybe, I don't know, you're talking and you don't notice what you're doing. But in an 8-part video series, to 95 times give the sign of El Diablo does not sound good. Now, I do not accuse Dr. Fraser, who's big right now, I guess, among the Baptists and some of the other evangelicals in the prophecy field. I'm not accusing him of being a Satanist. I'm not accusing him of intentionally, purposefully doing it. And maybe you could go through hundreds and hundreds of hours of Tex Mar speaking, and maybe one time I would put 2 fingers up or something. I don't know. It's possible. Anybody's hands can end up in a certain way when you're gesticulating and you're doing gestures. And okay, oh, I understand that. So I don't easily say, oh, look at that. The guy's full of Satan. Oh, look at that. The guy's a satanic priest. No. We don't do that here. But on the other hand, 95 times, at least he seems like he could have been a little bit more careful. And at the least, people are stupid for not noticing it. Thank God for Brother Ronald. He noticed it. He said, hey, something's not right here. And he even got the videos and took them home and watched it and wrote down the time on each one. And recorded it. So it's, you know, and he admits that some of them are not so pronounced in the way the guy does this, but then others are. Some are even prolonged. Well, folks, you may want to get this End Time Revivals Unmasked, Wolves Among the Sheep. Not only does it show these big name evangelists, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, and the others, given what appears to be the sign of Satan, but it also plays back in slow motion what they're saying as they speak in tongues. And they can actually be heard praising their master, Satan, while they're speaking in tongues. And folks, this is what Paul warned about in the Bible in his letter to the Corinthians. There is a unknown tongue, and many charismatics use this, that shows the person is a Satan-possessed person. And I think sometimes these people just fake it. They fake it like they're speaking in tongues. But as they're faking it, when you play it back in slow motion, the voice on the tape, you hear these strange words. And when you tape them down, they're saying, praise my master Satan. Wow. You know, I think that God forces them to reveal who they are. I do. I think God often forces demonic people to reveal what they are and who they are. Maybe he forced this Dr. Gary Fraser to do that. Maybe. Now, this takes some more investigation. I don't know. I don't even know much about the ministry. This is all I know of Dr. Fraser. But it doesn't look good for him to give up to 95 times these hand signs in his video series. And then, as I said, the very fact that he's a big Zionist you know, crazy, in my opinion. Adds to the silliness. Well, oh, I've got so much here. Well, a Mormon bishop's daughter who left the Mormon church has spilled Romney's secrets. Trisha Erickson has written a book entitled, Can Mitt Romney Serve Two Masters? The Mormon Church versus the Office of the Presidency of the United States of America. She says, while he, that is Mitt Romney, attempts to portray Mormonism as just another Christian religion, Mitt Romney counts on his skills to shift our attention away from what he truly believes. If the American people knew what he truly believed as a Mormon, they would surely not place him in the highest office in the land. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. Well, he's not fooling Pastor Robert Jeffries of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, who flatly said on TV, and I want to thank Pastor Robert Jeffries, who said Romney is not a Christian and Mormonism is a cult. Boy, now other Christian leaders have come down hard on Pastor Jeffries. But I'm telling you, my friends, he's telling the truth. Here's what Jeffries said. He said, part of a pastor's job is to warn his people and others about false religions. And Jeffries is standing by his controversial remarks. He says, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Mormonism are all false religions. Indeed, they are. Hey, talk about a false religion. Messianic Judaism is absolutely a false religion. And there are many Jews today who claim to be Christians. But when you get right down to it, not so. They're not so. Here's a guy named Sorko Ram. Ari, A-R-I is his first name. Sorko Ram, S-O-R-K-O-Ram. He puts out a newsletter called Mayaz Israel Report. And he's a Jew who claims to be a Christian Jew. But he wrote an article just recently, or actually his wife wrote it, Shira, where she bragged about their son being circumcised. She says, since we began our lives in Israel decades ago, we have participated in many circumcisions of Jewish baby boys. It is a solemn and joyous event. For what we're doing, she said, is witnessing another child being brought into the covenant of God. Huh? Our own son had his Brit Milah, that's his circumcision, by a rabbi, Mohel. Oh boy. And therefore he joined the ranks of the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Friends, that is evil incarnate. You do not join the ranks of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel by being circumcised. Jesus accomplished it for you on the cross if you believe and have faith in him. You do not become part of the nation of Israel because the nation of Israel is a spiritual entity. We are brought nigh to Zion through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Please read Galatians 3, verse 16, verse 29, where it says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a glorious verse. This is Tex Mars. We've looked at some secrets today. It's been so great visiting with you. Won't you tune in each week during this same time and share the power of prophecy.